So what we're doing when encountering another language, whether it's Sanskritam or Espanol, or we're really it's better to actually step into that culture in its own manifestation. And I do believe that in the West we have a poor history of approaching other cultures from the outside rather than actually asking questions from the inside.
Welcome to Vibration Rising Radio, Conscious Money, Health, and Spirituality, podcasting from the jungles of Costa Rica with your hosts, Adi Shakti and Carlos Duran.
Hi, this is Carlos Duran, co-host of Vibration Rising Radio. I wanted to let you know that I have a book coming out, The Karma of Rape, Healing from Sexual Abuse Through Spiritual Lenses. You can get on our early reader list and sign up for free updates and workshops at thekarmaofrape.com. I look forward to hearing more from you. May God bless you and Goddess protect you.
Hi, this is Adi Shakti, your co-host of Vibration Rising Radio. I wanted to invite you personally to join us for one of our yoga teacher trainings here in the Southern Caribbean coast of Costa Rica. You can learn more by visiting our website at www.passionyogaschool.com. Thank you so much and have a happy day.
Podcasting live from the lush jungles of Costa Rica, this is Vibration Rising Radio with your hosts,
Adi Shakti
and Carlos Duran. Adi, welcome back.
Thank you.
Who do we have on today's show?
Today we have Pierre Covillon. And he is an incredible teacher of mine. He is an absolute gem in the Indianapolis yoga community of all places. I've had the joy of studying Sanskrit with Pierre at his studio on the north side of Indianapolis. And he has done extensive study in the art of Ayurveda. And in Sanskrit as well, studying with Dr. Laud, one of the leading thinkers, if not the leading Western teacher, Indian himself, but teaching in the West, currently in the United States. He offers Ayurvedic consultations and is really one of the leaders, in my opinion, in the United States in all of this. And it's so incredible to have the opportunity to chat with him today. So thank you so much for being here, Pierre.
Welcome, Pierre.
Thank you, Carlos. Thank you, Adi.
Okay, so I studied Sanskrit with you. And this was actually after my 200-hour yoga teacher training that I took in Chicago, my 500-hour that I actually studied in India. And your workshop, your education really, really opened my mind to the power of chanting and the power of sound in a way that I had never experienced. My husband, Alex, and I both took your course, and it inspired me so much, even after quite a bit of study. And I just want to invite everyone, you know, in Indianapolis, and I know there's opportunities to work with Pierre as well online to take that course. But I'm hoping today, Pierre, that you can give us just a little bit of a taste of the basics of what Sanskrit is and how it can support us in developing and raising our own personal vibration and enhancing collective consciousness through cultivating more peace in our mind. So I'm wondering if you can just what is Sanskrit and where does it come from, Pierre?
Sure. Well, so much of what we do when we look at another language is look at it from the window we were born into. And it's more useful in this case to look at Sanskrit from really the place where a person has felt in the flow or in the zone or connected to the all that is, to God, as however you understand God. For Sanskrit, we have no idea of knowing exactly how old it is. We have no idea of knowing exactly where it comes from. Especially for Westerners, we're brought up to believe that we're the pinnacle of creation, that we're the smartest that people have ever been. And before oral traditions were in some way less developed or not as evolved as we are. I don't think that's an overt teaching in the West, but certainly it's implied. It was in my case and most people that I know. However, this is it's a very specific to our Western upbringing view of the world. So what we're doing when encountering another language, whether it's Sanskritam or Espanol, or we're really, it's better to actually step into that culture in its own manifestation. And I do believe that in the West we have a poor history of approaching other cultures from the outside rather than actually asking questions from the inside. In this case, what's unique about Sanskrit is that each person has an opportunity to explore from the inside. And that's a beautiful opportunity. For the Vedic culture has been constructed so that the felt sense is what is true. So that whether it's the teachings of Ayurveda or yoga or Sanskritam or Jyotish, the Vedic astrology, Vastu, the science of how to build one's home, the message is go try it. Go try it. Don't believe anything I have to tell you about Ayurveda. Go try it. You know, that's the message. So in Sanskrit, people have an opportunity to reclaim sound. Sound for me. My sounds. My voice. And it's an opportunity with a technology, because the sounds of the language are organized according to how sound strikes the palate of the mouth and how it vibrates the brain.
So, Pierre, can you talk a little bit more about that, the five positions and how the sound actually vibrates the different parts of the brain?
Sure. So those of you who are listening, if you just close your eyes and imagine you've already achieved everything there was to do on this earth. You've lived everywhere you wanted to live. You've had all of the partners or lovers you've wanted. You've had that one partner that was magical and everything flowed. You've had every job role or profession or thing there was to attain. And yet still there was this longing inside. Something was still missing. And from that place, you decide to explore your own insides. And so we'll make some sounds, and you can just respond to me, even wherever you are. You're driving your Jeep, you're getting ready to surf. I don't know where your listenership is in Costa Rica and around the world, but these are the sounds of the five mouth positions. You can just respond to me. So this is the first sound, the beginning. Every human just opens the mouth and allows tone energy to come out. Then expanding on that. And then exploring movement. I love that Carlos is laughing, because that's really what we're looking to wake up, is the little kid energy inside. There's no reason learning has to be an adult construct, even though it's deep things we're exploring. From the childlike energy, that is the native spirituality each person has.
This is fantastic.
So feel three positions in your mouth. and feel them go short, long, short, long, short, long, Then know that these positions are the ones that vibrate cleanly and clearly, and the very back coming straight up the throat. Then if I start to shape that tone energy, it comes forward. E, 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 and all the way to the lips. Very nice.
That's amazing, Pierre.
So this is so when you ask how old is Sanskrit, we really don't know. But what we do know is that human beings are evolving, and we're waking up. And we're waking up not just externally in how to relate to the outer world, but also internally. So the bioenergetic body and the feelings from the inside out, that's what these gardening traditions, the Vedic tradition is more gardening view. How do I thrive and live? So those are the first three positions people learn, and they're really native to all cultures. And then built into the language is also meter. So we have the short version, and when we have a long version at the same position, position one, position two, and all the way to the lips is actually position five, So the spectrum of energy, and these are tones, we call them svara in Sanskrit, which means a tone or a note. In English, they're called vowels, but a note or a tone carries more meaning than the word vowel. Feel it light up your brain as you do it. And eyes closed is better. So then the next place, Carlos and Adi, is to explore those two positions in between. So in the back of the palate I have I use my tongue to pull that tone energy forward. Then I can pull all the way forward to the lips. In between, there's something I can do with the tip of my tongue, which gives me two more positions, not only in the hard palate of the mouth, but also in the brain. And just back up for a second. If everyone, some people might not be familiar with that word palate. So palate is the roof of your mouth. So you can actually use the tip of your tongue to explore that. So if you use the tip of your tongue and you start at your top teeth, and then start to go backwards. So you're going up the wall of your mouth. And then there's a ceiling to your mouth. If you keep going back, there's a hard bump that sticks down, kind of like something on the ceiling. And then you can keep going further back than that. And then there's a soft area back there where the glottis is, which we don't usually put our tongue that far back, except that there are yogis that do Kechari Mudra, where they bring the tip of the tongue back there and are said to touch the cerebrospinal fluid, one drop. But that's a very advanced technique. So anyway, back to the mouth. Behind that hard bump on the ceiling is the soft region. And that's where ah comes straight up. Ah comes straight up the throat and hits that area. When I shape using my tongue, I bring that tone energy forward until it hits that hard bump. And then when I let my tongue drop back down and I use my mouth, I can shape it so that it comes to the lips. Everyone try it.
That's amazing, Pierre. You can totally feel the difference.
Yes, and there is just to not let you know, it's beautiful that so many people on every continent are waking up to these Vedic teachings, because they're indigenous to each of us. That's even said in the Yoga Sutras. Ete jati desha kala samaya navachinna sarvamalma mahavratam, which just says that these teachings are for everyone, regardless of where they're born, their age, their ethnicity, their class. This implies that a soul reincarnates into different bodies, and you can wake up anywhere on the face of the earth and continue your journey wherever you're at. So we were exploring the mouth, and we had positioned 1, 2, and 5. Ah, but in between those 2 and 5, you may remember from math, there are 3 and 4. And there I need to use the tip of my tongue. So we'll approach position 3 by using the tip of the tongue and finding the notch that's at the high point in the hard palate. So if you go from your teeth right up the wall, you'll feel a notch. And that notch is called Murdhani, which means the high place. And if I bring tone energy toward that using the tip of my tongue, it sounds like this. Try it. And this is where it's useful to put English or even Espanol to the side and realize that these are actually tones. So don't be thinking English letters. You know, instead, just feel the experience. So now we have ah-ee-er. Try it. Ah-ee-er. If I bring tone energy using my tongue to the teeth, that's the 4th position, and it sounds like oh. So I have 5 positions, and these 5 positions, they do have English names. You know, we call the first position guttural or velar, the second position palatal, at the hard palate, the 3rd position retroflex, the 4th position dental, and the 5th position labial. So speech therapists study Sanskrit, and I've had many, many speech therapists study, and they say, wow, I wish I had just learned this language. It teaches everything that we do. Well, not everything, but teaches a lot of what we do in such a short amount of time. So the 5 positions using tone energy, from the back of the palate and brain to the front. Ayurlu, ayurlu. Give it a try. Ayurlu. Ayurlu. Go ahead, we'll join in all together. Just who cares what happens with the recording? Ayurlu. Ayurlu. So just listen and then respond. Ayurlu. And remember the last one. Where there's no tongue use. So these are tones, and the most important instrument each person can learn to play is their own voice. The voice itself is the most healing instrument for each person. It's really important to get that. And singing and learning to be confident in my voice is a birthright of each of you out there. Don't think you can't sing. You know, it's just as beautiful, I think we would each agree, to watch a baby learn to walk as it is to watch, you know, a professional sprinter. So why is it not just as beautiful to listen to someone just claiming their voice, especially if they're older? I didn't start singing till I was 33. I didn't know how to play a single instrument. I started chanting and singing because I knew I needed to, because I had an aversion. And yet everywhere around me and my guru's path, the Self-Realization Fellowship of Yogananda, people of all ages were chanting, and there was something drawing me and drawing me and drawing me back into myself. So there I was at 33 doing piano recitals with 5 and 6-year-olds, and I was nervous. But be the piano or the harmonium will help you find your voice. And these mouth positions absolutely will help you find your voice.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Pierre. That is an incredible introduction to the language. I'm curious if you can maybe talk about some of the mantra, other than the tonal sounds, but mantras that are commonly used that might be good for beginners.
Can we define what a mantra is?
Yeah, so let's talk, what is a mantra, and maybe a mantra or a couple of mantras that would be good for beginners, and what they mean, what their vibrations mean.
Sure. So the most important mantra, so built into the language is meter. So we already explored that when we did So in a word like mantra, the first syllable will be emphasized, mantra, mantra, because it's built into the language that if you have a compound consonant, that first syllable will be emphasized, mantra. So go ahead, you can say it.
Mantra.
Mantra.
Beautiful. So, and don't feel shy. Everyone's at some level of learning. So the beautiful thing about Sanskrit is that it has a felt sense of being true. And whether you learn here on this radio show or in India, the teachings are the same. They have a felt sense of being true. The most important mantra to learn is the alphabet. And don't think that the alphabet is any small thing. Alphabet comes from alpha, beta. Alpha, beta, in a way, meaning physicality and energy. And this entire mantra, those are the sounds of the chakra, the wheels of light, the cerebrospinal centers. When you chant the alphabet, you are chanting the most important first mantra. So it reconnects. It's called the Varnamala, the ring of sounds. So the most important mantra to learn is the ring of sounds. And the reason is that it reinforces those five mouth positions. It teaches about sound itself. And it allows a person to go deeper and deeper inside. Perfecting that Varnamala is the first step, for all other mantra is dependent upon it. It's like if a person didn't know the numbers 0 through 9, if you don't know the order of 0 through 9, how in the world are you going to add? How in the world are you going to multiply? Let alone do calculus, right? So the same with this Varnamala. Master that first, then chant other mantra. So that's my first answer, like how can a person relate? And if the alphabet seems intimidating, just start with a few sounds, the tones that we already did. And if you're a yoga teacher out there, why not at the end of a yoga class just teach people? Because it's three positions and people are like, oh, that's fun. So that's my first answer. Mantra is learn the alphabet and don't think it's any small matter. The chakra are pictured as, you know,
these. Here, I have a question. When you say alphabet, it could be an alphabet in any language?
No, this specific alphabet. So mantra is specific to Sanskrit in that, in the more esoteric way, I'm learning sounds that are inside me.
So when we're talking about an alphabet, we're talking about the Sanskrit alphabet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, learn the Sanskrit alphabet. for its sounds are designed for inner experience. Its sounds are designed for inner experience, and in a way, Sanskrit is the older sister of all other languages that we know, certainly the Indo-European ones. So another part of Sanskrit is that the sound of the language matches the process or the thing that we're talking about. So this is very unique to Sanskrit. This is the language of sacred spell, like Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings, or any priestess enchanting or invoking something. Mantra is the language of that. And it's based upon the principle that everything has a vibration. And to match that vibration by using the sounds that underlie it is to invoke that thing or process. So when I teach, usually I talk about, you know, the first constructs we do after learning the alphabet, like the sounds then the partners that have physicality, ka, cha, pa. So ka is at the position of ka, 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 ka is in the back, cha, 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 cha is right.
That's in the front.
Yeah, it's in front of ka. And then pa, 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 pa is all the way at the lips. So just feel that. Position one, we had the sound up. Which are tones. And then we have physicality, which is cut.
Cut.
And you can feel yourself touching way back there in the back of the mouth. Cut, 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 cut.
Cut, 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 cut.
Then I had a tone at position two. E.
E.
And if you feel your tongue and you put your tongue right up at that same spot, the mid back of your tongue, you get cha, cha, cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
And then if you use your lips to make the same kind of clicking sound, you get pa, pa, pa.
Pa, 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 pa.
So these are all physicality. Cha, cha, pa.
Cha, cha, pa.
Very good, Carlos. Very good. Yeah.
Thank you.
So why study Sanskrit is that Sanskrit's organized in your mouth and organized in how sound affects your brain. Then these basic sounds get put together and they become like, you know, when a sperm and an egg come together and create a fetus, or when the you know, male and female parts of any plant come together to make a seed. So you create a seed. And these seeds are the beginning of the bigger things that come birth as words. So a common one we do in the Yoga Sutra, for example, is the sound vrit, 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 vrit. You can try it. Vrit.
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 And if we do it several times, we'll get the feeling for what that seed or that root sound means. Vrit, 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 vrit. Vrit, 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 which means to spin. So then we get the word vritti, which means a spinning.
Vritti.
Or some of you that teach yoga will recognize it in words like parivritta trikonasana, which means the turned about triangle pose. But here we're learning just about root sounds and why mantra, how is the science of mantra created. We start with these little seed sounds, vrit, which have an essence. They have a vibration that we can then use, and then that invokes that very thing. Vrit, vrit, vrit. And then the next one we learn in the Yoga Sutra really is chit, 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 which means to record. Chit, chit. Chit, chit. So you have, each of you, a recorder. And right now, for better or worse, I am playing on your recorder. So sorry if you were looking for a different teaching tonight or today, wherever you are. But it is chitta vritti, the spinnings in the field of awareness. And yoga, union, comes from a root sound yuj, yuj, which means to stick together. Yoga means union. coming together. Union with what? Ultimately, in the Vedic tradition, it's union with the all that is, the Holy Spirit, the totality. And that only happens when I can become here, right now. And that happens when those previous spinnings in my field dissipate, and I can totally be clear with what's happening right now. And the message of the Vedic tradition is that right here, right now, is as beautiful as your life will be, if you can be here.
Beautiful.
That's amazing, Pierre. Thank you so much. Wow. Yeah.
So, and then back to Adi's question around mantra. You know, there are simple properties in different mantra. So learning the alphabet is first, but certainly it's popular now, not only in the Western Hemisphere, but around the world for people to be exploring chants. And this touches upon Carlos's question around which alphabet. I believe that singing is primary, and singing can be in any language or without language. It can just be exploring sounds. And singing, when one knows the meaning of the words, does carry a heart quality. So I think it's important also to sing in one's native language or in the language of the people that you're singing with. That being said, there are properties to different mantras, and we'll just do three of them right now. It's traditional to start mantra or start anything with the remover of my own inner obstacles. So remember, though, the Vedic tradition may picture God in many forms, there's one totality that manifests in an infinite number of ways. And at first, I'm calling upon that aspect of the divine that can remove my own inner obstacles. And for that, we use the strongest sounds. Ganapati namo Ganapati om. Ganapati namo Ganapati om. And that sound, gung, try it, gung. It's impossible to be shy saying that. Gung.
Gung.
Is like hitting the gong, like striking that gong. I can already picture you, Carlos. I hope someday we meet in person.
Yes,
this is a way of within me, you know, clearing everything. Gong,
gong.
So that has in it the strongest earth properties. So remember, we were talking five mouth positions. Pancha desha relate to pancha bhuta, the five elements, which are space, air, fire, water, earth. And this is also universal to all cultures. It just so happens that the Vedic tradition organizes them for us. So you can approach the Vedic tradition from any cultural background. This is not about becoming Hindu. This is about being awake and alive and choosing to garden and thrive. So those five mouth positions that we explored earlier, e, o, u, or if I use the physicality, I'll get ka, 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 cha, 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 ta, 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 pa, pa, pa. These five mouth positions relate to the five elements. And they start, rather than with space, air, fire, water, earth, they start from within me, where I'm denser, as earth, which is way at the back. Then water, then fire, then air, then space. So in the back I have cut, 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 cut,
cut, cut.
Then the next position, chut, 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 chut. Then the fire position, then air at the teeth. Yeah, at the teeth. Then space itself. Pa. 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 Very good. So that mantra, gang, whether you chant, you know, Ganesha Sharanam, Sharanam Ganesha. Any chant to Ganesha is to invoke that inner, that place inside of me where I can clear obstacles and really be prepared for more esoteric things. Much like many yogis start with asana, the physicality, so they can then explore more subtle things. So that's the first mantra. The second one that I think is beautiful is a simple reconnection to the all that is, which is the Gayatri mantra. Om Bhurbhuvasvaha. Om Bhurbhuvasvaha. Tat Savitur-varenyam. Tat Savitur-varenyam. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. Dhiyo Yo Nah. Dhiyo Yo Nah. Prachodayat. Prachodayat. Then always translate them to the native language. So if you're teaching in Espanol, then translate it at the same meter. But I translate it in English. Sorry, my Spanish is not that good yet. I hope someday.
Ah, no worries, Pierre.
But it goes, O earth, the sky and heavens, O earth, the sky and heavens, most excellent creator of all worlds, most excellent creator of all worlds, may I attain your divine radiance, may I attain your divine radiance. Let it inspire my every thought. Let it inspire my every thought. So, you know, it loses some resonant quality in English, but the meaning is there. And I'm sitting here on a 3-degree Fahrenheit day in Indiana, but the sun is coming streaming into me in the early morning. And I can feel that creator. And I can feel blessed. I can feel on the earth, breathe in the atmosphere, and feel a part even of the heavens.
Wow, Pierre, when you speak, I really feel you. That's amazing.
and for those of you at home, the mantra that Pierre just was chanting,
all of them,
is oftenly called the Gayatri mantra. So I sometimes like to put it on YouTube or something while I'm working, and it's a beautiful. Beautiful mantra.
Yes. And these, then I guess the last mantra to share is each of us incarnates and suffering and being exposed to suffering, even in the lush beauty of Costa Rica, will happen.
Yes, it does. That's right.
And what to do when we encounter injustice? What to do when I encounter, you know, an animal that's been hit? Or what to do when someone loses a loved one. There needs to be something to do for the mind. There needs to be something to do for the mind. And in that case, and you encounter, for example, one of these suffering instances in the life, then having a mantra to chant over and over is useful. And that's where the Maha Mrityunjaya mantra is useful. The great victory of her death. Maha.
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 Means great or huge. And you can feel that in the word construct. Maha.
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 Whereas the word for little is Alpa. 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 Maha.
Maha.
Means
Maha.
The great. Mrityunjaya mantra. Mrityunjaya. And Jaya means victory. So we have the victory over what? Over Mrita or Mrityun. The victory over death. And it's not like anyone gets to cheat death. It's that by aligning with the spirit throughout all things, this temporary physical form, whether it's mine or that form that I witness suffering or that form that has just passed away, I know that that's not all there is. I know there's more. And that is the victory over death. And that chant we can do in response as well. Om Trayambakam Yajamahe.
Om Trayambakam Yajamahe.
We'll do one word at a time. That might be easier.
Thank you.
Trayambakam.
Trayambakam.
Yajamahe.
Jahaimahe.
Sugandhim.
Sugandhim.
Pushti.
Pushti.
Vardhanam.
Vardhanam.
Urvarukam.
Urvarukam.
Urva.
Urva.
Rukam.
Rukam.
Eva.
Eva.
Bandhanat.
Bandhanat.
Mrityo.
Mrityo.
Mukshiya.
Yuchiya.
Ma.
Ma.
Amritat.
Amritat.
Then I'll chant it just once so you can just listen. Om Trayambakam Yajamahe. Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukam Iva Bandhana Mrityor Mukshya Mamritat. There's a beautiful recording of the Dalai Lama chanting this. And for those of you listening out there, I do think, though it's certainly popular among Westerners, and you can find many recordings of popular kirtan artists, it is also useful to listen to a person who's been trained in the Vedic arts chant. For they would have started as children on the instrument they play. They would have started as children in chanting. And so they've developed that for decades. And so the chanting of native Vedic chanters is worth listening to.
And I think it's important to identify the reason why, Pierre, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is because in their training, they understand the nuance, the subtleties of invoking the frequencies and the correct vibration to harness the energy that's desired.
Yes, they would. They will, and they understand the meaning. So, you know, there's that thread is carried in it as well. There are so many infinite ways that it's impossible to really plot or linearly describe someone else's culture. I think we'd all agree that it's, or each of us would agree that it's going and tasting the home food cooked by the villagers of an area. And partaking in their rituals, how do they relate to the sun and the different aspects of the moon? How do they match the vibrations of their land? That's what each person craves, is connectivity and authenticity, being alive and getting to experience that. So within the Vedic tradition, it's never been, you know, broken. It's an unbroken chain. And so it is important. That being said, for those of you of Indian background out there, it's also true that it's useful to find independence from an ethnocentric viewpoint that can be really limiting. So many of my Indian students never learn the esoteric part of their culture. because it was either not allowed due to the caste system, or no one ever took the time to meaningfully describe the spiritual components. It was just really kind of like Westerners might get bored going to church. You know, they're like, yeah, whatever, I heard that song, my grandma chanted it, or she made me go to the temple. And so spirituality should never be forced on children, and it should never be something that we are, you know, using as power over others. It's something that to be awakened and invited. God is not some wrathful, judgmental thing out there. God is an opportunity for each of us to experience.
Beautiful.
Pierre, could you say that again? That was amazing. God is an opportunity.
God is an opportunity for each of us to experience. And each of us craves feeling that connection for longer periods of time during the day and night. And the ultimate liberation is when I, the witnesser of my life, that which I'm doing in my life, and the whole process around it become one. So there's no longer any editor. There's no longer any part of my consciousness that's sitting on my shoulder and editing or judging what I'm doing. I'm just living the life. I'm just living the life. From a feeling of total joy or total connection within. And not that life is always joyful. It means that when something sad happens, there's a pouring of grief. But then I no longer store that. You know, I fully express it, that I'm not carrying my past around with me anymore.
You're free from reliving the trauma again and again.
Yeah, if we look in the animal kingdom, you know, an animal that's being chased, like a deer being chased by a lion, if that deer escapes, the first thing it does is shake tremendously for many, many minutes. It releases that trauma.
Wow.
And then the deer goes on and about its business, you know, of being a deer.
I do that after.
That's amazing.
After teacher trainings, once everybody leaves, I shake and cry for about 2 hours, and Alex just
holds you.
It has. It's happened now after both of them.
Yeah, wow. It's no joke to be a teacher trainer. You know, there's not adequate enough preparation. What you and Alex are doing is very brave, Adi. It's very brave because we are, like those seeds that have flown a far distance from the mother tree, and we're trying to take root in a place where it's, you know, it's a new plant, it's a new idea. Not that it's new, it's just, you know, it's ancient, but with awakening. And so it's difficult. There's so many subtleties that people are working through when they come to a yoga teacher training. There's so many, you know, parts of their suffering past that they're looking to let go of. And the teacher trainer really has to experience a taste of each one of those events. You know, the great ones. And I am not
like
Yeah. The great ones. Like
I'll tell you this, Pierre. I've been involved with yoga now for 16 years.
Yeah,
and I've seen several, you know, I've had different teacher training friends and partners and things like that. And what Adi and her team with Alex, what they do is life transformation. It goes beyond a teacher training. When I've had the opportunity now twice to see the group when they arrive and share a little bit with the group in the middle and then, you know, send them off, like usually at the final dinner or something. So I can see the stages of development for each individual. And I see how deep and how intense the commitment that Adi and her team and Alex bring. And let me tell you something, man. It is just, I mean, talk about revolutionizing people's lives with yoga and teacher training. What they're doing, and when she says that she shakes for 2 hours, I'm not surprised because they really take it all on. They really give it all, and they leave it all there. It's amazing.
And I just want to say, Pierre's... I wish that I was in Indianapolis, the city, more with Pierre. I love.
We're gonna bring him here.
I hope so. I'm so honored, Pierre. I appreciate so much you taking the time to talk to us today. I just it almost brings me to tears hearing your voice and hearing your wisdom, and you're doing such incredible work in Indianapolis, and I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for you, Pierre.
I'm thankful for having met you, and I think everyone that's listening in is super grateful for the wisdom that you've shared and for the ancient teachings that you've brought in modern light. It's been amazing, Pierre. Pierre, I always ask this question, but feel free to answer it in any way you want. Are there any two books or any two movies that you would recommend for our listeners?
Well, how I'll answer that is what people have an opportunity to do is connect to a great lineage. I think it's common in the culture that we're in to be very independent and to seek spiritual teachings from many different viewpoints. And while that's useful, if those of you out there find a true well that you can drink from, stay and drink at that well. For to create a quilt work of your own spirituality is ultimately to leave the ego in control. So there are tried and true paths out there, whether it's Yogananda's path or Shivananda, Isha Yoga. There are so many true yoga paths, Vipassana, Vipassana. It is useful and essential to have a culture of elders that have been up the mountain. Not anyone has to blaze their own trail. So, you know, I'm from the Yogananda lineage, so the movie Awake is out now. The movie Awake explores the life of Yogananda and his teachings. He was one of the greatest influences. Then as far as Ayurveda and Sanskrit goes, any book by Vasant Lad, so that's LAD, or Ayurveda.com. So those are the two resources. If you're interested in what has come through me today, I am only doing my best to transmit the teachings of my teachers.
Pierre, and where can people learn more about you, your teachings, your websites?
Yeah, so I apologize that in the technology world we're a bit behind. I had a website, sanskritbasics.com. It's currently being rebuilt. So sanskritbasics.com is the resource for Sanskrit. My school, Santosha School, is up there on the internet, santosha-school.com. And I traveled the world and taught for 7 years. And the time will come again when I do travel and teach workshops. In the meantime, you know, any of you that are interested in contacting or studying with me are more than welcome to write me through the school.
And to our listeners, if you'd like to attend a workshop with Pierre in Costa Rica in 2017, you can start registering now. So we can tell Pierre, look, we got 15 people.
He's getting married. He's
wow, busy. Congratulations, Pierre.
He's busy.
The thing is, there needs to be no limit. When there's true enthusiasm and excitement, that's the thing to work with. And I will be happy to explore coming to Costa Rica. Certainly, in my life.
You come see me. I'll keep you busy. I'm super stoked on this, Pierre.
Yeah. Well, my life's mission is really to make the teachings practical and simple and attainable for each person. So those of you out there, especially the ones who have felt disconnected from your own voice, please, please, whatever song touches your heart in any language, take the time to learn the song, whether it's just with three chords on a guitar or, you know, a simple thing to bang on like a bottle with a spoon. Learn that song and chant it over and over again until your heart cracks open.
Thank you so much, Pierre.
Wow, Pierre, thank you.
I touch your feet. I wish I was there to put my forehead to the floor and inspect. And I miss you so dearly. And Alex and I will be home this summer, and we'll make sure to get some time together. And, wow, I am so very thankful for you taking the time out. And I just want to thank you for your commitment to raising your own personal vibration, enhancing collective consciousness. And I'm hopeful that our listeners were able to to soak some of that in. And thank you to our listeners for your commitment to raising your own personal vibration. I'm Adi Shakti.
And I'm Carlos Duran.
And this is Vibration Rising Radio.